Well, as we've heard, the key change to Tony Abbott's shadow cabinet is the appointment of Malcolm Turnbull in the communications portfolio. It covers the big ticket item of this government, the $43 billion national broadband network. It was an issue which many believe may have swung votes to the Labour Party and kept Mr. Abbott from gaining a majority. It certainly seems to have been a big factor in the decisions of the independents, who decided who'd be Prime Minister. Now, Tony Abbott has given Malcolm Turnbull his riding instructions: destroy the government's case. Malcolm Turnbull joins me now. How are you going to do that?
Well, I think the first thing is the government has got to try and make a case. It is quite extraordinary that they're proposing to spend $43 billion of taxpayers' money on a project that they say will result in an asset worth $43 billion, and yet they have provided no evidence, no financial analysis, no business case, no financial models to justify that expenditure or to persuade any of us or convince any of us that this isn't going to be nothing other than a massive destruction of taxpayers' money.
But they'll be saying that they made the case during the election campaign. It was one of the issues that decided the election campaign.
Well, they have not made a financial case. I mean, people can engage in political rhetoric, but when you're spending $43 billion, there is a huge opportunity cost. Every $1 billion that is wasted on this project, and I believe tens of billions of dollars will be wasted on this project if it goes ahead, is money that cannot be spent on fast rail, on public transport, on schools, on hospitals, on roads. Take your pick. You know, money, taxpayers' money, is a finite resource. It's a scarce resource, and we have to use it in an intelligent and professional way. And what the Labor government is doing here is something that no public company would ever be able to get away with. Any public company that said it was going to spend tens of billions of dollars on a new project would have to persuade and demonstrate to its shareholders that this was going to add value to the shareholders' investment.
Your own personal experience would tell you that big fortunes are to be made by getting in early when it comes to matters digital.
And big fortunes have been lost. I tell you, I've seen both sides of this coin. In the late 90s, there were tens of billions of dollars, possibly hundreds of billions of dollars, spent on subsea cable, you know, broadband capacity, if you like, around the world. It was a classic case of build it and they will come. The result was a massive destruction of shareholder value, and all of those assets ended up getting sold for cents in the dollar.
Because we're using them all now, though, aren't we?
Well, we're certainly using them, but there was a massive destruction of wealth. And that's this is the real issue. Look, it's not a question of are you for or against broadband. I am passionately in favour of broadband. I'm a notorious internet chunky, and I love it. I've been involved in the internet since the 1994 when we started Aussiemail. So I'm very committed to it. And I'm very committed to the amazing things that we can do with technology. But I'm also committed to not wasting tens of billions of dollars of taxpayers' money. Now, if the government says I'm wrong, and they do, where is the financial analysis? Where is the business plan? Where is any of the evidence that would justify this investment? And I get back to this fundamental point. If a public company proposed to spend billions of dollars on a project, it has to demonstrate to its shareholders that it will create value with that investment. This government treats the taxpayers of Australia with contempt, and it provides much, much less information, virtually no information, about this investment than a private company would to its shareholders. Now, that's simply wrong. It's an affront to democracy.
You're not convinced by the idea that 10 years down the track, this NBN is going to be producing vast amounts of economic activity for the country.
Well, we have very little data to work on. Everything I have seen demonstrates that the cash flows from this project would not justify a valuation anywhere near the cost of the investment. But even if you look at the very, very optimistic assumptions made about penetration rates, that's to say take up, and the amount of money people are prepared to pay, and we've seen in Tasmania people are not prepared to pay big money for these services, but we've seen, if you take those...
You're saying that in Tasmania the take-up rate hasn't been what's expected.
No, exactly. That's right. And look, leaving that aside, Mark, If you look at the McKinsey report that the government commissioned, which does have a couple of assumptions there, it doesn't have a financial model, it doesn't have a business case, it's got a couple of assumptions there, even on those, the returns on this investment, on these very favourable assumptions, are really pathetically low, are positively anemic. Now, you know, the fact is that the probability is, if the government goes ahead with this, it'll spend $43 billion and, in my judgment, end up with an asset worth somewhere between a half and a quarter of that amount.
Now, Andrew Robb said the coalition plan, on the other hand, wasn't properly explained or properly understood. I mean, if your job is to demolish the government plan, it's also going to have to be to build up the coalition plan.
Well, certainly.
Was it good enough?
Well, look, Andrew Robb's engaged in a bit of self-criticism there, and that's a matter for him.
Was the coalition plan good enough?
Well, I'm looking forward. The coalition plan was certainly superior to the NBN.
But was it good enough?
Well, it was certainly a lot better. But if you're asking me to comment on whether it was well sold or effectively, you know, explained, I'll let others form that judgment. You know, I think a lot of work went into it, but the election is over. Sadly, we were not rewarded with government.
Indeed.
And all our policies now have to be reviewed.
Isn't it the case that the coalition's plan would have left, because it left so much of the copper network in place, would have left Telstra with its monopoly, would have put off for maybe another decade, the structural separation which a lot of people think is needed?
Well, a lot of people argue for a separation of assets and ownership, but, you know, that is frankly not necessary as long as there is an access regime so that Telstra has to, as it does now, make its network available to third parties. Then you can achieve the objectives of competition without nationalising assets belonging to a private company.
Now, a lot of people on your first day in the cybersphere, on Twitter and so forth, want me to ask you about the filter. What's your attitude to the internet filter?
Well, I'm absolutely and utterly opposed to it, and as is the coalition. It is a really bad idea from every respect. I have nothing good to say about the filter, and the best thing the government could do is drop it. It is a truly bad idea. It will slow down the internet, and it will create, I'm afraid to say, and this is the most sinister aspect of this internet filter, it will create a false sense of security where parents will think that their children are safe online without supervision because of Mr. Conroy's internet filter, when we know that the real problems to be encountered, or many of the problems to be encountered online, are not going to be susceptible to that filter. In other words, they're found in chat rooms, in peer-to-peer networks, in other forms of communication that a web-based filter that seeks to screen out web pages, essentially, which is what we're talking about here, is not going to be effective. And there are a host. Look, the technical objections to the internet filter are so long,
right.
We could, you know, everyone listening to this program will nod off. It is a truly bad idea. It's been universally condemned. We're opposed to it, and Conroy should dump it.
One last question. I have to ask you this one. Tony Abbott was asked it. It's the loyalty question, particularly as you are in a very, very important position now, and if you win, you're in an even better position to perhaps challenge Tony Abbott again or ask for another portfolio, the Treasury, for instance.
Well, look, I support the leader, so that's it.
Do you want to be Treasurer?
I'm very happy being the communications shadow, and I'm delighted to have that role.
Malcolm Turnbull, thank you very much for joining me. Malcolm Turnbull, the new Shadow Communications Minister.